become this reflected tree and attain the real tree of the spiritual world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, good, good, good. So this chapter 15 starts off in kind of a mystical way. It's being very artistic, poetic, poetic license. Krishna's horse is speaking, and he's entitled to be poetical. In fact, the entire 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita is really a song, it's a poem. That's what it is. The whole Mahabharata is a poem. And the most important portion of the Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita. It's what really hits home to everyone, or should hit home to everyone. We have, as a human being, the divine right to understand who we really are, and that we are spirit. It goes along with the territory to understand the self. It is as simple as this. If you have a roof over above you, and it rains a lot, like it has been in the last few days, the inevitable will be there. Wherever there's a building, there's going to be leaks, right? There's lots of rain. Where there's rains, where there is rain, there will be leaks. Where there are humans, there will be the inquiry into the absolute. Atato Brahma Jignasa. What's this all about? What's this Brahman all about? Then we ask the questions. What is spirit? What is real life? People ask, what's real and what's not real? Nowadays, everything's quite like cloned or copycat or Xerox. Somebody wants to decorate their home, you know, with trees and plants, they get plastic ones. Because they're eternal. Right? Not really, though. They're not real. Yesterday we honored a cake to someone. And it was a welcome cake. And it had butterflies on it. And they looked like butterflies. But the Prabhus who baked it said, Maharaj, you can eat the butterflies. And I said, are you trying to break my principles? I made a vow at the Shisha. I would not gamble. I would not have illicit sex. Take intoxication and eat butterflies. And you're getting me to break my vows. Shame on you. They said they're edible. All right. Good. No judgment involved. All right, so they weren't real butterflies. They're not real. They have, you know, I mean, people have to always determine what's real and what's not real. But when we really have to, what's very relevant is this world. Is it real or not? And we think it's real because I can feel it. I go like this, I can feel it. I pinch myself. Ouch. I feel it. I can go like this. Oh, I can smell it. Especially in this weather. Humidity. Worship me. I can taste it. I can see it. I can feel it. No. And so we feel it's substantial, and therefore it's real. But when you have a dream at night, it's very real. And when you enter into that state of sleep where you're kind of conscious, and you're reminded this is only a dream, not too much time, don't take it seriously. Have you been in that situation before? Where you're dreaming and it seems so absolutely real. So real. That you aren't conscious. And then you wake up finally. Oh. That's real. I thought I owed somebody 750,000 rupees. Thank God, it was a dream. It was kind of a nightmare. Thank God is over. So, you know, we conjure up what we think is real. We think this body is real. For the time being, the death will go. Then we call it real. It's abstract. That's what it is. It's not real. It's not really tangible, only for the time being. And therefore, you can't take it seriously, and you can't trust it. What can you trust? You can trust that which is real. And what is real? It's the spirit world. I remember going to a university in Canada, and I just kind of opened up like this. And those were the days, you know, pens and papers, Okay, I'm saying that because everybody's into computers now. Maybe it was Mauritius, so they were a little bit behind, maybe. But they were what we call pens and papers, okay? So people were writing down, this was a while back. Now the first way is that the Vedas say that the material world is a reflection of the perverted reflection of the spirit world. And all the heads went down. And I kind of looked, oh my gosh, did they faint? Did they fall asleep? Was I bored? Boring? And I realized that it was such a profound statement that they all were like, that's good stuff, that's real. Wow. You know? So much profundity in that statement. So now we really feel that this world is real. We want to believe that it's going to bring me pleasure. We want to believe. We want to believe that I will become a Bollywood superstar or a rock star. Something like that. My looks are half there. Just have to do a little work on it, and I'll be there. That's so wonderful. Practically end up. Okay, so we have these notions about real and unreal. Like, say, for instance, what's unreal for most people? Well, death, really. We see people dying around us. The Yaksha told Yudhishthira, you know, it's the most amazing thing everywhere around. And the Yaksha was asking questions. Yudhishthira gave the answer. The answer was profound. Everywhere people are dying, they don't think they're going to die. That is a reality for us until we get close. And we die. Oh my God. So, the point is, what's temporary, what dissolves, will not be here. It's understood that the world will dissolve. We've seen civilization. Did anybody read National Geographic ever? You read it up sometimes?
Not anymore, but like when I was in America.
When you were in America, National Geographic, do they have it here?
I think
they have the Vision for your America. Okay, so, you know, there you sometimes find they're doing excavations of ancient civilization. Some are up to that civilization is no more because earthquake or because of, you know, just the elements took over. Sometimes battle. And everything got buried under the ground. And they discovered that they dig in deep holes and they find these people. And, you know, they appear to be, it was a real strong civilization at that time. It was all. Rome, in the days of glory, so-called glory, was very substantial until it dissolved. Practically dissolved. And you know what killed it? The self-indulgence, self-gratification. You know, the gladiators, the Colosseum activities, watching people die, entertaining, yeah, whoa! And then the, you know, Caesar going, you want up or down? You know, whether down that means kill it or up, let him live. Or two scenes, I'll leave right about it. Has anybody ever been to Rome? The old, yeah, and you've seen the ruins? pretty amazing place. Everywhere you go, every church, it's just amazing. What's done, what they did in those days. And what those, imagine what those things used to be, those buildings built by slaves. And now that civilization's gone, and we're looking at it. And, you know, maybe in the future, some people will come and maybe primitive or enlightened, and they'll come and they'll look at all the plastic bottles that we left behind. What is this? It must be foolish, I know. Like, really low class. Yeah. What's this? Stuffed teddy bear? Because they'll be looking at us and say, what a bunch of weirdos. The age of weirdness. And yet, now everything is very substantial. The automobiles. I noticed here in Mauritius, you don't have any sidewalks. You don't have any pedestrians. Everything is made for the car. Did you think the car is so real? That people are not. Right? So things are, you know, built up to enhance this illusion. And it is deep, big time illusion, mega illusion. That you have this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine. But we will be dissolved. And the beautiful thing about death and birth and old age and disease and all that good stuff is that it helps us to see reality. We still want to deny it. That's our problem. So what about the Vedas? Well, the Vedas are really meant to help us to come to this understanding. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita is part of the Vedas. But that's just said by Aham Eva Vidya. But not if it is Eva Vidya Chalam. The purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. That's what it's all there for. And in the Vedas, we have portions of it that are maybe it seems a little distracting, demi-upership and fruit activities, you know, asking for so many things. Little song in the 60s, oh Lord, what should I mean? That we're saying these bands. You know, the river is a good song, but it was substantial. Well, so people are praying to God for all kinds of material things. Oh Lord, won't you have to help me to pass the exam? Oh Lord, won't you find me a little nice looking wife? Or right? So we pray to God for so many things, and of course these things are illusory, and it appears substantial. But everything loses its luster after some time. It just doesn't stay. It's like when you're a kid with ice cream. Chicken, you like ice cream. Take it everywhere. This kid, he doesn't like any sweets. Very normal. Okay, how about pizza? My pizza. It's so enjoyable. And it goes down your throat. But then it's over. And then all you have to do is sing another song. If that's all there is to my pizza. Alright. So you know the material world is really you're dealing with illusory things, you know. But we need to use them. Because by destiny, we have this physical body, so we have to use physical things. But what's beautiful about the process of devotional service, and which the Vedas direct us towards, is that you can somehow or other take this material energy and bring you closer to the spiritual energy. You have to use this machinery in a positive way. Just like, you know, in the world of high technology, as we live in now, people use this. It can degrade you or it can elevate you. No one's doing it. With a knife, how we cut subjects, or you cut the people that you don't like. Okay, one will be very good for you, which will bring about nutrition, and the other one will put you in jail behind bars. So it's just a matter of looking at this, you know, the material elements that we have, and seeing how I can best utilize it. That's all. That's really the art of Krishna consciousness. Right. And not getting immersed or, let's say, obsessed by something. If it is computers, okay, it is for Krishna, but you know, give yourself a break. Go for a walk in the bush, not comfort. You know, I mean, you're probably getting enough radiation for there anyways. Getting cancer and things, or probably being brain tumor. Anybody use cell phones? Cell phones, yeah. How many people have cell phones? Come on, put up your hands. Come on, okay. Happy brain tumors. For destruction of brains. Something. Well, something in those categories. Everybody, you want to buy one. It's efficient, right? And once you get one, it's like, you're trying to just have a peaceful conversation with someone. Talking to somebody, you realize, darling, I love you. Or somebody's doing a real important talk, and then sometimes we do plays like we have a really important scene where it's all quiet, not a pin drop can be heard, or quite can be heard. It's that silent. And suddenly, you just want to take one of those little hillbilly shotguns.
Yeah!
You know, it's so annoying. Right? We can't live anymore. Anyways, the cell phones, if you dial OM and it gets you a Krishna, right? Yeah. Try it out. You got a cell phone?
You got one?
Okay, we'll see. Yeah. Go, come on. See how great your machine is.
You use the only one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, is God on that
one? No.
God on the other. No, you know. So we need not get carried away. Of course, in Prabhupada's time, he used, you know, big throats, typewriters, microphones, and stuff like that, and automobiles, but he didn't get carried away with it. I would think Prabhupada would be very disturbed about cell phones. He would be very annoyed. You know what, in a public place. And you know what about this? Everybody's going like this down the street. So, you know, chiropractors are going to make good business. You're always like this, you know. And anyways, we were supposed to go in this direction, but to do a major put down on the material world. But we really do have to try to get down to simplify matters, downside, and get down to just appreciating Krishna's community and your tongue. And utilizing that time, which is supposed to be staged for Radha and Krishna to dance upon. That's real. Taking Vrishabha is real. Most of us don't dispute that. This is real. Rendering devotional service, that's real. There's no money to be made from it. You don't get a paycheck. Really, I mean, some people, majority, but the administrators may help, but it's not for profit. The PROFIT. It might be for the profit. The new world starts together. Right. great honor to really appreciate it. It's really felt that in the presentation. If you don't have a PowerPoint presentation, these people kind of help you out with their little given gadgets, right? Recently I did a presentation at a university. I'm not doing a PowerPoint presentation. And the students said, "Oh, great, thanks a lot." Because they're so used to it, you know? And now, who's going to talk to you like a human being? And they went, the teacher sent me an email. And he said, "Well, it's just a great presentation. Students came to me after. We just said it was good." Because we made powerful points. We didn't make powerful points. So what about the van entry on the way here? Abby and I, we walked, we got a little lost. We lost each other. He went the high road and the low road, and we got lost. Is it possible to get lost before? It's just a small island. That was impossible to lose each other. But we did. Anyways, we got reunited and we were happy. And then we walked by them in the trees. And, you know, they're pretty far out trees. They're very substantial. There's something very spooky about them as well. There's this one tree in Kolkata, the botanical garden. And it's been there for 150 years or so. And it's got one, it's got, oh, let's see, what is it? God, it's so incredible to get. 1,000 aerial roots that are trunks now. The original trunk isn't there anymore. So when you walk through this forest, it's one tree. It's amazing. And, you know, it's hard to figure out where did it start from, where is the original trunk? It's not there anymore. So sometimes the material world is hard to figure out as well. So to put it in very simple terms, it is not substantial, the material part. It is a reflection, perverted reflection. So look at a reflection, and look at that, and see, it's not really me. It's like a mirror, it's not you. You look at a mirror, and you take a pizza, and you put it in the mouth of the reflection. Eat, come on! You know, your mother would get really upset. Why are you wasting this food? So I heard Prabhupada talk like that. You know, you have to deal with things in the real way, the right way. In Atlanta in 75, he was talking about, you know, food you put here, not here. And so when it comes to service, it has to be offered to Krishna, who is the whole. That's why the stomach has to be served. So put everything through the mouth. And something substantial will happen. So we need to determine what is real. And Krishna makes it quite clear. And the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam also, beginning with Janmadishyataha. Okay, there is said that the reality has to be distinguished from illusion. And the illusion is the three modes of material nature. Let me just move this forward. It's my reality is to get my lens straight. And the three modes of material nature are sotagun, drajagun, and tamagun. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. And ignorance, everybody knows, everybody has had a little bit of it. You have to sleep at night. That's holy. If you want to call it something else, fine with you. But as far as I understand from the babies, it's time to sleep. And you're in ignorance. You're not conscious of what's going on around you. Sometimes somebody might come and steal something at night while you're sleeping. This is common in South Africa, by the way. Even while you're out on the couch, they come with this gas. And you know what it is. And they're moving furniture and taking all your, electronic stuff out while you're sitting there on the couch. While you're not those kind of things happen.
I'm working for your eyes, and you can't do anything about it.
And, you know, so we're in ignorance sometimes. But ignorance is necessary, passion is necessary, otherwise we wouldn't have children. We'd have great people like chicken and flavors. Centering you or focusing on you too much, getting too much attention from you. Okay, well, anyways, so, and to build buildings, to build a temple takes passion. It's necessary. But don't let all be passion. There has to be some time for restfulness and thoughtfulness. Actually, to build a building takes some thoughtfulness, some goodness. You have to analytically sit down with paper and pen and draw something. You know, come be very analytical about it. And that's a great thoughtfulness. But yet all of this, even thoughtfulness, is temporary. The Taj Mahal, somebody thought that out, and it's falling apart slowly. It's not eternal. Something could wipe out. Most famous building in the world. And so nothing is permanent. Recently I was in Nam. They call it, it's a New Orleans thing. What do they call it? Nolens. You been to Nolens? And Nolens. And you know, a tsunami came. Well, something came. And wake up so much of the city. And same. Your dreams can be destroyed so quickly. You know, one automobile accident will do it. We had an America. We had an America, three devotees, two of which I had known 5 days before. We had really nice having them. And it was nighttime, we were working hard. One devotee had cell phones. Using his cell phone while driving at 1970 in under a big truck. He was on the phone talking to somebody. That person was on the phone, yeah, me dying in the car. So dreams, what we consider reality, can be dissolved in no time. So what's real as Krishna? What's real is ourselves. Atma. There's Atma and Paramatma. They're real. They're always there. You all get a sense that we always live. You all feel that. Sometimes people ask, what's the proof? Ouch. Tell me the proof that we're in channel. Okay, see it closely today. That we are there, we are embodied. And our body changes from childhood to youth, and then we die. But we still remain. Okay, but apart from that, okay, you can go through hypnosis and recall that you were before. People can do that, conjure up your past. What if you don't have money to do that? You have some kind of intense feeling that you always were, and you always will be. Why you have to be very careful to cross the road, especially in March, before we cross the street. Because we do not want to die. Because we do not want to cease to be human. It goes against the grain of our very existence. We are permanent beings. We are constant principles. That's what we are. And this world is not so. The packaging dissolves. What's in the package stays. It persists life after life. And we all get a sense of eternality because we all want joy forever. Forever. It's just not gratifying to say, I am 18. and I deserve to have a good time. I can do what I want. That's Alice Cooper. I can do what I want. And then what happens is, okay, you lose one. But then that changes, your body changes. And you can't do all the things you want. So the whole idea is, let's break the illusion. You know? Prabhupada came to help us break the illusion. The various illusions that we have about this world. Like, I'm Hindu. No, you're not. I'm male. No, you're not. I'm female. No, you're not. I'm human. No, you're not. I'm dog. No, you're not. You're not, you're not, you're not. No. These are labels. That's all. We are the spirit within. We have to get that in our heart. Let it sink in. This is reality. This is what Vedas teach. I'm not this body. Of course, we're going to get to this point of ultimate detachment from this world. There are some concessions given. Chapter 12 does address that and other places. If you can't do this, don't do that. Think of me always. If you can't do this, then please follow the rules and regulations. If you can't do that, then work in such a way that you offer some of the fruits and flavors. So you don't want to detach from it. You can't do that, then do this, do that, do this. Krishna's quite kind. You know, he understands we're all coming from different levels. We're all not pure devotees overnight. I don't know about yourself, but when I joined the movement, many of us thought that, okay, I'm a kind of fallen soul now, with a sort of other deities condition. So, but maybe in a month's time, I'll be a pure devotee. instant coffee, instant this, instant that, instant pure devotion. Think about that when we're novices, when we're young. And then after a month passes, that's more work. Okay, how about 2 months? 2 months, 2 months more. And you got 2 months more. Well, you know, I think it'll take a little longer. And you start to get the incredible realizations of a lot of work to do. So the work that has to be done is something that you can do on yourself. You can help people along the way, but you really have to help yourself. No one's going to change you. Of course, we suffer daggers, but we don't. Nobody can alter the situation. It's just something you have to do yourself. Because you're writing on your own karma that you created. Krishna gave you the facility because you demanded it. Don't put the blame on Krishna. It says, I'm suffering. Well, come on, why did you put yourself here? If somebody's in prison, they say, I don't like this place. He says, well, why did you put yourself in there in the first place? Come on. Be good, act good, you have a chance. Serve your sentence and get out and be good and don't do the same silly, foolish mistake again. Yeah, so let's look at the reality. I am not this body. Aham Brahmasmi. I'm a spirit. Everybody knows that term? Aham Brahmasmi. 1, 2, 3, go.
Aham Brahmasmi.
Aham Brahmasmi.
Aham Brahmasmi.
Now, please don't go to some official place and they ask, what's your name? Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. How do you spell that? Aham. I-A-H-A-M. Brahmasmi. Okay, Mr. Brahmasmi. How old are you? How are you turning old? Excuse me. How are you turning old? Okay, I need to take when you were aboard. I'm on board. I just went off and I supervised. So, you know, we have to deal with the world and, you know, it was a famous story. Jesus, you know, somebody had said, you know, what about taxes, you know, because one of his followers was a tax collector. And, you know, he was Caesar, you know, should we collect taxes for Caesar? Because people understood Jesus was a radical person and there to save people. And so, oh, you can pay your taxes to Caesar. And it was the answer they wanted to hear. So you have to deal with the reality of being in this cage, this body, but to be very practical. I met one fellow and I said, so where are you from? He said, I'm from beyond. So what are you doing these days? Nothing. What are your future plans? That's up to me. He's trying to play the role of God. Has anybody ever met God before? This is tied into our story from the Krishna book. I met God once. That one that I was on one of our major streets in Canada, and I was distributing clothes, passing out cards. And the police officers were, I was with two of the brunches. They picked us up and put us in the station. And they questioned us why we were doing what we were doing. And we gave some of the silliest answers. We were not very mature at that time. But anyways, I was put in prison and overnight. And I was in a cell with other people. I was with my Jodi on and everything. And one guy goes, hey, you're a Hare Krishna kid. I said, yeah. Well, I didn't think you guys did anything wrong. Why are you here? But so that was one guy, and there was another fellow. He said, I'm God. And I said, you're God, right behind bars. And then I don't know, he must have read one of Prabhupada's books. He said, I'm here by my own sweet will. Well, have a nice time and put us on God.
The body is a cell. It's a jail. It's a prison.
And we don't want to leave any of those terms. But try to look at it like this. A great asset of having a human body is that you have all the faculty measures to help you to get out of this material world. We have to think about the exit. Once you're on stage and your part is, your role has been played, you have to figure out that you have to make the exit. You have to get off the stage and ready for the next scene to happen. You do the opposite. So as human beings, we're supposed to get off the stage once we finish this life. Don't stay there. The director will get in charge. So
you're fired!
I'll hire somebody else. Get up there. Those days are crazy. So for us to keep coming back and back into the material world, it's rather foolish and silly. That doesn't make any sense. So we have to figure out how, and of course we learned about a little bit about how we got here.
Well, that was so cute.
Anyways, we are at the 29 o'clock, and we were told that we should sort of, we're supposed to wrap it up now. But we need to really get down to understanding the difference between matter and spirit. I am spirit, I'm not this body, and I must get out of it. I must make my exit off the stage. I have that obligation, and I owe it to myself. Are there any questions or comments? Feedback, deliberations, epiphanies, realization, challenges, whatnot.
What would be the best process for us to break away from the illusion? Maybe understand that.
The process explained by Rupa Swami in his teachings of first get into the association of devotees, mix with sadhus, mix with people who are not really of this world, or at least are teaching that message and living to some degree that lifestyle. And then for their faith, eventually we can detach ourselves. But it has to come from the association, being the right company. And that's always a big thing when you're young, especially. You're going to have a lot of sense of urgency. Well, who should I hang out with? Isn't it? When you're 40 or 50, you don't want to hang out with anybody. Everyone's miserable. They're all a bunch of dogs. You feel that way sometimes. But when we're young and you want to be loved, I think you've got to bring them to hang out. So we have that choice too. Some people really want us down, so we have to choose. I mean, associate with the best kind of people I can find. Non-violent, vegetarian, non-intoxication, non-gambling, non-illicit sex, philandering around, horsing around. But, they're sincere about their spiritual life. They may not be perfect, but. So, choose your best company. And then it really starts right now. Something else? Anybody else? Something? You would go deep? That's all you last year, right? That's all you here last year. Okay, so feedback. Okay, feedback. Tell us how it went, presentation. Were you excited? Did you get something out of it? What was the best part? Tell us something. Don't leave me in this world. Yes, for me.
Yeah, very lively.
It was lively. Okay.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Trying to get people more involved, yes. Interactive. Good luck to you. It was sometimes just 7 hours in what's called nine devotions. It involves the Were you there?
Yeah.
You were there! Hey, oh! Yeah. Were you one of the people with the recorder?
No,
was
this time.
Okay. There were people that had, did the nine devotions, and they were just starting, and suddenly all these little gadgets came into my face.
Whoa!
No, they're talking about some personal stuff, but it's private. This experience. What's up, any other feedback?
Maharaj?
Yes.
Out of context, but could you give a quick brief explanation of the new ministry of the Veda?
New ministry?
Veda ministry? The performing arts?
Oh, yes. You heard about this whole. We have something called Vande. One day is something that I started with your devotees. One day, of course, means prayer, but also stands for Vaishnava arts for a new devotional era. And that's, we're talking about performing arts, dance, etc., drama, martial arts, culinary arts, handicrafts, all kinds of things. Practically visual arts, filming, anything that fits under that category. We have set up an initiative, a committee that wants to encourage that in this country. So our aim is to set up a decent website and to people can register there. So what we're saying, a catchword or phrase is, got talent? Tell us. And if you got got some talent at all, let us know about it. So you can have your whole sort of resume, your picture, and show us it. And then this way, we collect all the wonderful talent that's around the world that Vaishnavas do. And then, you know, you can find out who to hook up with. So that's one thing. And Bhante also has already, you know, reproduced a drama in my under the auspices of Bhante. And we did an art exhibit for the first time in my book, done by local artists. Things like that. You know. And so the whole intent is to nurture and inspire people who are in the arts and create a fraternity for both artists and patrons of the arts. We want to encourage patrons of the arts, people who sponsor artwork, get them involved. And go back to kind of like the way it was during Prabhupada's time. Prabhupada was the biggest patron of the arts. He was so much behind the dramas, the kind of the artwork, the doll making and doll, the paintings that went on, and nice music, good kirtan. He also, that's also to be considered as kind of a performing arts, right? We think that it, take it as a ritual, as a very integral part of our religion, but actually it is a performance, and it should be done well, you know? It should sound good. So that's what Bhante does. And so if anybody's interested in wishing to get involved in Bhante, you can let us know. Thank you for asking.
And what's the website address?
You know, I don't know. But if there's anybody who wishes to know, I mean, I should know it off the top of my head. But I can let you know. Anybody really interested in knowing how to get hold of the Bhante website? It's main once it's up and running. You can contact our members. Yeah. Core members, about 6 core members. Most of them are from many different continents. There's somebody from Canada, Australia, America, France, if you saw in the UK. Okay. Okay. So that's anything else? So thank you very much for listening and taking to heart this verse from which chapter of Bhagavad Gita?
15.
Okay. And which text?
1.
1. On what chapter did we read from the Krishna book?
6.
6. 6. What is it? 66. Okay, the famous highway in America. Route 66. It takes you across the country. As long as it's only 2 6, it's a 3 6. 3 6 is the other show. Okay, so thank you very much for listening. It's 9 o'clock. And it's time to wind up things. And we really welcome those who are students, working well, studying, those who are at work, you know, also in relationships, work hard in the relationship, make it work nicely so that you can create a good atmosphere for, you know, your children and so on to execute their mission consciously. Enthuse everyone in serving each other, the best thing to do. The better you serve, the better you get. Feel better if you get them involved. You feel better. And who in this room doesn't want to feel good? Everybody wants to feel good, right? Does anybody want to feel bad in this room? Moving aside. Alright, so everybody feels good. I mean, we're all the same. We're the same boat together. So, somehow or other engender, inspire others in this direction to serve nicely and to cooperate well. Sometimes you may not like decisions or policies made, but just cooperate with the people. You know, the right decisions are sometimes made, but
Go on.
You know that the right decision to make, get involved in the decision making. And help out, be helpful, right? Everything's done. Did you hear about the river? Here's the joke. Did you hear about the river? No, did you hear the joke about the river? Have you ever joked so? Okay, good. So that's it. Oh. On to the right.